March 8th, 2009. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Brothers and sisters, I welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to pull out your bulletins and follow along with me as I highlight a couple of the different activities that are going on within our faith community. And actually, I'll be skipping over kind of the first couple of pages, so I'll encourage you to look at those yourself as the announcements start on page 4 of your bulletins and continue on page 5. And I'm going to take us all the way to page 6, just for the few that I will be highlighting now, and then we'll have a special announcement from the Senior High Youth Group a little bit later on in the service. But on page 6, if you're there with me now, I'd like to draw your attention under the Women's Ministries section to the prayer chain. Many of you may know that there are emails that go out with updates of things going on, people to be praying for, prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of concern. If you'd like to be added to that list, read those details there. Further on down the list, Easter flowers for the sanctuary. If you are interested in purchasing some of those, please take a look there at the details as well. And then finally, under the worship section, near the bottom, the Sunday morning prayer group. Maybe this would be something you might be interested in doing for the rest of our Lenten season or something. Just a reminder of that every Sunday morning prior to this service, we have a prayer group upstairs in the upper room if you are interested in joining and becoming a part of that. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to our youth praise group.
Please stand and sing with us, "You Are My All in All," followed by "Amazing Love."
Treasure that I seek.
Brothers and sisters, it's this amazing love that we are reminded of as we gather together and experience this grace of God, as we gather as a community and recognize the blessing that it is to have one another and this blessing that we have to know this amazing love of God. So brothers and sisters, in the spirit of this love and this grace, I ask you to step outside your pews and greet those around you.
Good morning. I am the leader of the third and fourth grade Young Pioneer Youth Group. And first of all, I'm thrilled that a majority of us remembered to turn our clocks and are here. But some of us are actually either homesick or still sleeping. So we have some extra people as well. There's about 13 of us that meet regularly every other Tuesday, and we would love to have more people. We have a puzzle for you today. It's a participatory puzzle, okay? So we're going to stand up, and we're going to show you some things. And I'll tell you right now, they're not in order. We're seeing how smart you are, and we're seeing if you can figure it out not in order. If you figure it out, you are allowed to call it out. And we'll give you a few moments. But if you can't figure it out, then we'll get in order, and we hope that then you'll be able to figure it out. So everybody's going to stand up, and they're going to show you their items. And you're supposed to try to figure out what we're trying to communicate to you. You can turn yours around. There you go. And you see there's all different collection of things. Oh, yeah, Sean, yours is upside down. Yeah, there we go. And you see it's a collection of things. And we're communicating a very precious promise. Anybody got any ideas? Come on. I know this is... Oh, good for you, Mrs. Comandini. It's actually communicating John 3:16. So let's put it in order so you can see. For God, right, so loved... Where's my Elijah? Here we go, the world, okay, that he gave, here's my Max, his one and only son, so that whoever, anyone in this phone book, believes in him, here comes Anna, she's not in our youth group, should not perish, but see, everybody thought this was an eight, I had to teach them the infinity system, but would have everlasting life. So we would like you as a congregation to say it with us, if you would. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. We would love to have any third or fourth graders join us. We have a good time. We learn a little bit. We play a little bit, we snack a little bit, and it's a really good fellowship time. Thank you very much.
invite you to have a seat again as we get another presentation from our senior high youth group. And you can be a senior high youth member if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so while everyone's coming up, I'm going to explain what we're doing. We're having a Battle of the Sexes change drive. So what's going on? We're raising money for this teenage charity that's Christian-based. It's called To Write Love on Her Arms, and it's for people that are depression, suicide, drugs, all that stuff. We have change bottles in the fellowship hall, guys and girls, so whoever you think is better, because we're going to be really perky and really happy, whoever you think is better, go and support that team, and at the end of 4 weeks, we're going to have a party to see who wins. So we're going to sing a little song for you. Girls are going to win, that's what. We're going to have little 5 second things in between the services for the next couple weeks. So definitely put your change in, and it's going to be fun. So just enjoy.
Thank you.
God, we give you thanks that you are holy, that you are our Prince of Peace, that you are our message and reminder of love and good news and joy today. Oh God, help us to hear your word and help us to follow after it. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning's scripture is in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they be given in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Before I forget, because I'll never remember in the fellowship hall, they did a great job, but the guys had the harder time of starting, so you can... chaos breaks out, right? That's great. Now I got to see where I was going to start, right? Oh, that's right. Raise your hand this morning if you're wearing a cross. How many of us are wearing a cross? How many of us sometimes wear a cross? Raise your hand if you sometimes wear one. Let's see if I can get this one off a moment without. I think I got to get this loose. Complicated here. Should have thought about that when I put it on. Well, crosses, as you know, are fashion statements in our culture. You can go to a nice store and you can buy pretty crosses if that's your style, or if you like to make crosses in your workshop, you can make them today. But a kind of a blurry New Yorker cartoon, they blur this so that you don't do what I just going to do, and that is put it on the screen, says it all to me. I don't know if you can see it, but the Orthodox priest has a huge cross around his chest, hanging down by his chest, and two very fashionable women come out of church, and they say, "Fantastic crucifix." Well, the cross is a fashion statement in our culture. And yet, the gospel reading calls us this morning. Jesus says to us, "What does the cross mean to you?" Now, I believe that the cross is more than a fashion statement to you. I have two crosses. This is my Sunday cross, and this is my daily cross. You probably can't see it very well, but nice olive wood from the Holy Land cross, and this. And each of them have a meaning to me, probably like your crosses have to you. This one is from my grandmother, the person who had the single greatest influence on my faith growing up, lived next door to me. She gave it to me for Christmas of about 1980, and it reminds me that it's in my DNA to follow Jesus Christ. She inspired me in many ways. This is from one of my children, who
didn't get permission to tell the story, so I'm not going to tell you which one. But Joy took a bunch of kids several years ago to the Sight and Sound show in Lancaster. Noah's Ark, I think it was. Was it? Was it anyone went? And was it? And with their own money, they came back and they said, "Dad, got a present for you. Here, we know you'll love it." I said, "Oh, why?" Maybe their first, second grade at the time. "Because, Dad, it's a cross, and it was cheap." They knew me well. They still do. So that's the meaning of my cross. I'd love to hear the meaning of yours. But more than just what the cross means to us, what does it mean to God? You know, my two crosses are a symbol of what's been passed down to me and what I'm passing down. It's a symbol of my inheritance and my inheritors. That's what it means to me, but what does it mean to God? But before we get too deeply into that, Jesus tells us a really, really important lesson at the beginning of this passage. He tells us that in all areas of life, the cross cannot be avoided. Think about that a minute. Would you read it? Jesus begins to teach. Would you read it with me? Saying, "Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering." I underline "must" because this is the first announcement of the crucifixion in the Gospel of Mark, and we're halfway through the Gospel. And the Greek word "dei," which is in parentheses next to the "must," really carries even a stronger idea that God compels the cross to happen. If you think about it, God compels the cross to happen in every area of life. Got to be suffering. No pain, no gain. There's suffering in life, and we cannot avoid it. And yet, like Peter, we spend a lot of time trying to avoid it. The human perspective, if we went on to verse 33, if you have your Bibles open, we can imagine Peter taking Jesus off to the side and saying, "What, Jesus? Perhaps there's a better way we can deal with these Jewish leaders. Maybe pay them a little money. Maybe soften the Messiah thing a little bit so we can all get along. And maybe eventually you can take over from Rome." Let's avoid this crosstalk. And Jesus turns to him and says the strongest words in the gospel. "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, you can't avoid suffering and pain. And we're like Peter. We try to avoid it in so many different ways. You know, I try to avoid it sometimes through faith or positive thinking. I'm getting better in every way and every day, better and better. That old positive thinking thing. You can have faith that's unrealistic, that taken to the extreme, at the same time puts your head in the clouds and in the sand. It's not real faith, but faith can avoid. You know, God's going to heal me. I can't tell you how many times I've been at bedsides where people were dying and they couldn't accept it because God is going to heal them. That's not true faith at that moment. Or sometimes we try to avoid the cross by, I'm forgetting my second one here. Oh, yeah, sure. By voting for leaders who will pamper us. Spend more money on me. Cut my taxes. Give me a benefit. Right? And then we wonder why over the last 8 years the national debt has doubled and may double again in the next four. It's not just their problem. It's our problem. Who do we advocate for? Just ourselves? Often the case. Or other people have financially tried to avoid the cross by investing with this guy, who promised 10 to 15% returns every year, never a down year, painless. That ain't the way it is. There is a cross in every area of life. No pain, no gain. Try to go to your football coach or your swimming coach or your baseball coach or your basketball coach and say, I don't want to practice. I don't want any pain. And see if he doesn't tell you that you need a cross to bear as well. So if Jesus is indeed correct, that there's no way that we can avoid suffering and pain in life, then what does the cross mean? Well, God intends real crosses, not just decorative ones, to be redemptive, to help us, to actually bring gain into our lives. And we believe that that Jesus said this most profoundly in these words. Would you read them with me? He says, if anyone become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. You know, I was thinking, how does cross-bearing, not cross-wearing, save us? And as I was thinking about this, this email came. You got to watch it. I'm not going to read it unless a few comments I'll read. Bearing a cross. Lord, it's too heavy. Please cut it down a little, we say. Whatever the pain is, suffering, sickness, football practice, whatever. So, start sawing. Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better. Lord, thank you so much. Huh? Let's use this as a bridge and cross over. How does the cross redeem us? Sometimes it prepares us for something. I'm not going to read that. The cross that Jesus gives prepares us something. It can also be redemptive if it teaches us something. We were doing our devotions last night. We've got this teen devotional that we do, Devozine magazine, Devozine. And Carolyn Haynes, whoever she is, wrote a poem about suffering. And I thought you might like it. It's called Nose Pressed to the Pain, P-A-I-N. I watched a noisy little fly trapped in the window blind. He buzzed and fussed and wanted out. That's what was on his mind. He pressed his nose right to the pain, P-A-N, P-A-N-E, and flapped his wings a lot. No matter what he seemed to try, a headache's all he got. He fussed inside the window blind. How long? Well, no one knows. That stubborn fly was sucked right up the vacuum cleaner hose. The pain, P-A-N-E, the pain he fought, it did him in. The fly was not too smart. Its pain, P-A-I-N, its pain, is pain a thing you're fighting too? The pain that's in your heart. Well, take a lesson from that fly and get a better view. Don't keep your nose pressed to the pain. Stand back and get a clue. Yes, use your big bug eyes of faith. Escape the blind you're in. Don't let the vacuum suck you up. You'll see, you're free, you win. Pretty clever by a young person in Washington State. When I think about probably the biggest pain that I've had in the ministry in the last couple of years, it would have been worrying about whether our daughter church Ignite was going to take off or not, and how many sleepless nights I had, and how many times I had to put myself to sleep by praying, Lord, make this work. It's such a great mission. And if you've been around the congregation for a while, you know that in January we decided that it wasn't going to make it. We let it flicker out. And as disappointed as I was, I'm sure David Mojica was even more, but the group of leaders that worked on it said, look, we've got to learn from this so that we can do it better next time. We tried to extract some lessons. They may not mean much to you, but here's some of them, the main ones. We said that next time we need a closer fit between North Branch and the planter and the community and the vision. It was too loose this time. And secondly, we need to have North Branch better prepped in at least one of two ways. Either we need to have more of a core group gathered from the beginning, or, as we tried to do about 3 years ago, bring a planter on staff for a while to build up relationships towards a greater core. That was one of our big problems. And third, we need wiser financial planning between salary and ministry money and all of that. And so we tried to not stay in our sadness or disappointment, but learn something from it. That's what God wants. So Jesus' cross redeems us by preparing us, by teaching us, and by growing us. Have you noticed that the church is a little fuller the last month or so? Maybe not today as much because it's time change, but 10:15 will be fuller, I'm pretty quite confident. And 11:15 might even be fuller, who knows? And I think about, well, why has the church been a little fuller lately? Well, maybe my preaching has just so improved since January. But probably it has to do with the tough times that the country's going through, right? And how people are aching for hope from God. And so they're coming. We've had more visitors in the last couple of months than I can remember for a long time. And so people are seeing that ultimately only God can help us in with our national cross. And that we need to be in a place where we can grow closer to God, like right here. So it seems to me that God is using our national pain to grow us, so that God can give our leaders sufficient wisdom to restore confidence, and we can help, and that God can release that indomitable ingenuity of the American people that has triumphed over greater crosses before. That's what we're looking for. So the cross redeems us in three ways. Actually, I'm going to bring you a fourth one. It prepares us for something. It teaches us something. It grows us closer to someone. And lastly, the cross shows us who we really are, who God really is. Did you know that in Mark, the first time that Jesus is publicly confessed as the Son of God is, our passage is from the middle of Mark, it's at the total end, you guessed it, when Jesus is hanging on the cross. It's not even a Jewish person. It's the Roman centurion that watches how Jesus dies and for the first time in the Gospel of Mark publicly announces, truly, this is the Son of God. The cross shows us who God is. A God so loving that he would take upon himself physical nails and the spiritual and the emotional pain of creation upon himself. And we stand before the cross and we see who we are. Sinful, broken, angry, selfish people. We need the forgiveness of God to be restored. And I pray that you know that fourth and last meaning of the cross more than any. Who you are and who God is, that you might be connected to him, to Jesus. So, that's the cross. You can wear your cross, your crosses. I hope you do, and I trust it means something, and I hope this morning it means even a little more to you, because the cross is what helps us live cross-culturally in the world, for it helps us deal with our pain in a redemptive way. Let us pray. God, it's a great world you've given us. And it's a painful world that we remember in Lent. The pain of our own stupidity, the pain of our own selfishness, the pain of others who sin against us, the pain of just this whole out-of-whack world that we live in. Oh, God, we acknowledge it. We acknowledge that you alone redeem it and redeem us. Thank you. We praise you. We accept you if we haven't before. And we live cross-culturally this week, knowing we cannot avoid it. You can help us handle it in the most positive way. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said. Please give to God, who's given everything to you.
As your mercy falls.
almost torn, we praise you in the storm. We thank you for all the ways that you're with us. Your presence with us is more precious than anything. So be honored in the way we live our life, the way we help others that are suffering and struggling and in pain around us all the time this week. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Let's continue praying for our world, giving thanks and expressing concerns to God. Let us pray. God, we're thankful for so many blessings this week. Just the blessing that you never took your eye off us. Your hand was always around us, protecting us. Your wisdom was always coming through to us from within our own minds, or from friends, or family members, or people we didn't even know. We're thankful, oh God. We're thankful for the talent that was shown at the Somerville High School on Friday night and Saturday night in the musical. Thank you for so many North Branch people, kids who did such a fantastic job on Me and My Girl. And we thank you for other things, Lord Jesus. Hear us as we thank you for track. Speaking of pain and suffering, track. For the young pioneers. For youth that woke up this morning. For medicine. God, we also bring before you our concerns. We pray for Terry Bayorick's brother-in-law. His cancer is spreading. We pray for a healthy recovery for Lauren, the cousin of a co-worker. Pray for another co-worker who lost her 30-year-old daughter, and a 25-year-old nephew who lost his best friend. We pray for lifelong friends, the Dwyer family, as they deal with the passing of Bob last night after a long struggle with cancer. And to these prayers, Lord Jesus, we add others as we ask you for. Prayers for Lars as he had complications from his lung cancer surgery. We combine all of these prayers, those spoken and unspoken, with that great prayer that you taught us that people say in Spanish and Portuguese and Eskimo and whatever language around the world there is. Prayer that most importantly you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. forget to give your youth money to one of the, or boys, the girls or boys, in Fellowship Hall. And would you take the hand of the person next to you? Knowing that we all follow the cross together, whoever we are and wherever we go in God's wide world, that Jesus goes with us, before us to prepare our path, behind us to encourage us, beside us to befriend us, above us to watch over us, beneath us in troubled times to carry us. Most importantly, within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace, now and forevermore. And all God's people say.
You've been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.